Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this word we're about to receive, Father, and I pray that we just put our mind and our heart, Lord, to receive it. And Lord, we just love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
1, 2. All right. We are in week 11, contrasting worldview. What's a worldview, real quick? Who would like to answer that? Give it to Kenny, because Kenny knows. He's got that look. Hands don't go up. I just have to call on somebody.
It's what we're going to base our truth on. For us as Christians, we base it on the Word of God. For other people out there, they base it on whatever they turn around and believe to be the truth. It could be the news. It could be anything that comes down the pike. So it's your foundation of what you're going to constantly and consistently go back to as far as what you're going to turn around and believe as far as the world is considered.
Very good. Yeah, and really there's only two different types of worldview. There's the Christian view of the world, and then there's everything else which is wrong. Okay? Jesus himself, and we'll see a scripture here in a minute, that if we are Christians, we have to believe what Jesus says about heaven, hell, salvation, God, all these things he gives us the correct understanding of. But every other view is incorrect. It might have little bits and pieces of truth in it, but the entire way of looking at life. So we use Islam a lot of times. Islam, the way a Muslim looks at the world, is not the same way that a Christian looks at the world, is it? No. They have a different law system. They have a different philosophy. Marriage is different, right? Their education is different. Their dress is different. Their politics is different. Everything. So our Christian worldview touches everything in life. So really quick, understanding the nature of the problem. These were all classes that we did in review. Talked about that. Aliens in our midst. We said that in our nation today, there's a wide variety of the way that we look at the world. So when we elect representatives to the Senate, to the President, to the Congress, wherever we elect them, they're coming in with a worldview. And those worldviews aren't the same. Somebody's way of looking at the world and interpreting the world is going to be put on all of us. Our job is to destroy all aliens, or all alien worldviews. So when Jesus said, go into all the world and disciple the nations, he meant go and teach them to view all of reality and to understand God in the proper terms. Know how the aliens think. Well, I obviously know that. We see it every day. All you got to do is read the newspaper, turn on the TV, and you will see how the world thinks. In fact, Steve Schenck was supposed to be here earlier to give me a... So he'll probably come in late and let him share a newspaper article he called me on yesterday. Overrun by aliens, once again, we see that we're continually assaulted. Go ahead. There's commonalities of all alien worldviews, and the most thing is that they're all wrong. Okay, that's why it's so imperative that we know our scripture, that we know what the Bible says, so that we ourselves are not misled. And the worst thing that we can do is take a little bit of the Bible and a little bit of the worldview, you know, the way the world sees. So we have a lot of Christians today that would mix evolution and Christianity. And they'll say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, he's my Lord and Savior, but I don't believe in a six-day creation account. I don't believe that there was a literal Adam and Eve. That's just symbolic or figurative language. You see what they begin to do? They begin to tear away at the authority of Scripture. We cannot do that. We have to receive and accept the Scripture for the way they are. The consequences of an alien worldview, we say they're disastrous. Your eternal salvation is dependent upon how you view Christ, God. All religions pay respect, supposedly, to Christ, don't they? But in Islam, is Jesus Christ the same person that he is in Christianity? No. They don't believe that he's God manifested in the flesh. So for us, they learn that Jesus is the second person of the Godhead. He himself is God. Okay? Muslims don't believe that. They believe he was a prophet. They believe he was a man worthy of respect, but they don't believe that he was deity or that he was God. Okay? Next. Alien assumptions. That's what we looked at last week, and that's what we're going to continue on this week, because we want to understand all of life, and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at assumptions. What an assumption is it's something you believe before you begin believing other things. So for us as Christians, we believe that the Word of God is our authority, don't we? Can we prove that to someone? No. Can we scientifically prove that? Can we weigh it or... No, we can't do anything, but we start from that assumption. Well, the world does the same thing, or non-believers do the same thing. They start from an assumption that something that they believe is true, and then they go from there. So if they are a evolutionist, they believe that nature is their starting point. And so they reason and they make their ideas from that particular point.
Really,
Go ahead, Bob. Science teaches
the way to do that is to try and prove it wrong. If you have an assumption, what you do is try and prove it wrong. If you can't, then it's the truth. But most of the worldview doesn't do that. They go just the opposite direction. They do and compile everything they can fact-wise to prove what they believe.
That's exactly right. Most people don't know what their assumptions are. So we talked a little bit about it when I said, you know, science could never prove anything. But they, you know, there's assumptions that you have to believe. You may not know it consciously, okay? But when you begin talking to people, and we're going to see in one of the clips here that these people do exactly that. Now, we saw a clip from the book of Eli. This is another little clip, about a minute and a half. But I want you to listen to the dialogue. Listen to the dialogue between the two main characters and what they say about the Bible. One wants to use it for good purposes. The other one wants to use it for bad purposes. Go ahead and play that in. May turn it up just a little.
Is that thing loaded? I don't think it's loaded.
One way to find out.
Look, I need that book. I mean, I want the book. And you, but if you make me choose, I'll kill you. I'll take the book.
Why? Why do you want it?
I grew up with it. I know its power. If you read it, then so do you. That's why they burned them all after the war. Now imagine how different, how righteous this little world could be if we had the right words for our faith. Well, people would truly understand why they're here and what they're doing, and they wouldn't need any of the uglier motivations. It's not right to keep that book hidden away. It's meant to be shared with others. It's meant to be spread. Is that what you want?
With all my heart and soul. I always believed that I'd find a place where this book belonged, where it was needed. I haven't found it yet.
Okay, you can hit. Bobby, hit the lights.
Did that take place in the Clark Park?
Yeah. I think that guy in the glasses was you back in the day, wasn't it?
Looked a little familiar.
Okay. What about that little clip right there kind of impress you about what they were saying? Right here, Raj?
Hold on, Raj.
Hang on. We'll bring the microphone here to you.
Hold on.
Get Bob moving a little bit. He's got to go through a whole stretching routine now, you know, before he's... Go ahead.
And that was Bob in there, but a little slimmer. But,
yeah.
The book represents power. You have the book, and the guy realized that they burned all the Bibles. So he said, you know, have that book with power. He'd be strong. He said, okay. But he wants to use it for himself, to glorify himself. Not with the book, you know. But Eli, no, he wants to take the book. He said, with all my heart and soul, I want to take this book to somebody who could, you know... But the other guy, the bad guy, he wants it for his own purpose, to glorify himself, not the Word of God, but having that Bible.
Yeah. Now, what did the bad guy understand about the Bible?
It had power.
That's exactly right. Like Roger,
go ahead. It's like a gun. Whether a good person or a bad person uses it, that power is still there. It can be used both ways. God will certainly limit the bad, but it can be used in a bad way.
Now, why do you think when the communists or the Nazis came to power, what was the first book that they banned? The Bible. Why? Because they knew what the power was, okay? It's just like this. I mean, whoever wrote this movie obviously had a great understanding about why the Bible is so important. Now, I don't know if they were a Christian or not, but they obviously understood it. And you see two particular worldviews against one another in this clip. You see the one that wants to use the Bible for good, and then the other one that will use it for evil or destroy it or use it to control people, right? So this whole movie is very good. I mean, we see this play back and forth, but it's really how our society is today. There's those of us as Christians, we want to use that book, we want to teach that book. I like what the bad guy goes, well, we need to spread it around. We'll have a righteous... You know, the bad people know that. Why do you think that the Bible is being outlawed in our schools, in our courtrooms? You know, in the old courtroom, you know, any of you ever gone into a courtroom where you had to take the old oath? I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me, what? God? And you had to put your hand on the Bible? Remember that? You don't do that anymore. You just go, I swear or affirm to tell the truth. To what? To who? Okay, so it's been eliminated. And believe it or not, you see how the society was all dark and, you know, torn down. That's eventually where you end up. We're talking in 2 Kings about the Word of God being hidden and the people not obeying it because they didn't know what it was. But then they find the Bible one day. They found the book. And then the king began to make reforms based upon what the book had to say. Okay, go to the next clip. Ephesians 4, 17 through 21 says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Who are the Gentiles? Those who are non-believers. So you can say they're the ones that had another worldview. They saw the world different. They were the Greeks. They were the barbarians. The ones who saw the world correctly were the Jews, because they had the Word of God. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, he's speaking to the Ephesians, but he's speaking thus. You, however, did not come to know Christ in that way. Surely you have heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is where? In Jesus Christ. Where's all truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. And what He meant by that statement, all truth is in Him. That's just not for salvation, but it's for politics, it's for economics, it's for health and science and everything else is in Christ. All right, Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. In other words, don't think like the world thinks. Don't act like the world acts. Our thinking has got to be different. But be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. Your mind is very important. Unfortunately, so many Christians say, hey, I just give my life to the Lord. It doesn't matter if I study the Scriptures. I've studied church history or know them. I don't have to memorize things. That's wrong. We are told our mind has got to be changed. Your mind cannot be changed unless it's based upon the book. All right? Then.
That's two things that were a truth throughout the New Testament was repent and believe. And that's exactly what that sentence is. Do not conform any longer to the world. That's repentance.
That's exactly right.
But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's the believing. That's how we learn to believe.
That's exactly right. Bob, you touched on it Thursday in your class. Repent, the word means change your mind so that you can change the direction that you're going in. So you're walking in this way, which is that wide and, you know, curvy way that leads to destruction. We are to change our mind, which will change our hearts and the way we should act. You know, one of the Supreme Court decisions, the reason they took the Ten Commandments out of the school, one of the judges actually wrote this. They will read them, kids could read them, and then learn to observe them. Oh, we don't want that. We'd rather have them stealing from each other and lying to everybody and assaulting one another. But notice, once our mind is renewed, it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. You know, we talk about discernment a lot in this church. People that have discernment. You know why they have discernment? Because they're in the Word. They know what the Word says. They're not fooled by when somebody comes in and they might give a teaching or somebody knocks at the door, the laundromat prophetess or whoever it might be, because they take what they say. And I said this before. I had this lady, she began prophesying over me, Pastor, blah, 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 blah. God's called you to do this and blah, blah, blah. And then she said this, and you should have been the leader of this church. And right then and there, I knew she was Jezebel. And I said, wait a minute, you know, here's a false prophet. Okay, trying to bring in division, trying to undermine the authority of this church. But if I didn't know the scriptures, I could have said, okay, yeah, you're right. John 18:37 says, in fact, for this reason, I, Jesus, was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the, what? The truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Why do you think there's such a divide? You know, over the years, I've been involved in debates. We tried to get books into school. I was up in Michigan State or wherever it might be. There was always a divide. Why? Why do these people so insist that they didn't want these books or they want information given to the kids that would contradict their particular worldview? I mean, these people are adamant. They are just as zealous or even more zealous than us when we're sharing our faith because they're sharing their faith. Bob?
Because they know good and well it can't stand up to the facts.
That's exactly right. Their basic assumptions, when you begin looking at them, they crumble. But because they never identify them or really know them. Okay? So Jesus said, everyone on the side of truth, that is that just truth in spiritual matters? No. That Word of God touches all areas of life.
But all aren't all areas of life. You've taught us spiritual anyway, so it's basically the same thing.
That's exactly right. But of course, the world doesn't see that. But we understand that. That you can do nothing. Every molecule, every atom that's in creation was created by God for a purpose, wasn't it? Now, we don't understand everything's purpose. Our job is to discover what its purpose is. But the world says there is no ultimate purpose to creation. It's just one big what? Accident. How can you get purpose out of an accident? You can't. So you can see just, you know. Then you wonder why people are committing suicide or, you know, that they're depressed all the time because a lot of them don't see a purpose for their life. He came down on the dark side. I want you to see this video. Go back. Governor Jerry Brown signs law to allow nurse practitioners. Watch this. Listen to this and see what the worldview is here.
5 minutes. This is a Democratic pro-choice organization thanking God for abortion.
We give thanks, O Lord, for the doctors, both current and future, who provide quality abortion care and pray that they may be kept safe. We pray for the 45 million American women who have had safe, legal abortions. May they stand tall and refuse shame. We pray for elected officials that they may always support a woman's right to make her own medical decisions. Today we pray for better access to all forms of birth control. We pray that women know the power of our own stories. May we find our voices and tell our truths.
Okay, you can stop that.
Did you hear?
Well, wait, you know what? Go ahead. He says something that's pretty good. Go ahead.
The irony in the background. The voice of a small child crying. Perhaps it's because that was the only person in the room who sensed the irony of their wicked prayer, thanking the God of life for abortion.
I like that guy.
Yeah. There's a radio program. It's called Wretched TV. You can go online, and there's all sorts of these little things that they do, the little 5 to 10 minute little things. What was your gut reaction when you heard that lady praying that?
Listen, this woman is an idiot, okay? Plain and simple. She doesn't know the Lord. She doesn't know what she's talking about to thank God for murder of little innocent babies. It's totally wrong.
Doesn't know her word. Yep.
I mean, we sit here in shock. Yeah, give it to Roger.
Well, yeah, Raj.
Give it to Sarge there.
Yes, sir.
Double time.
Yeah, but Beth cut this cartoon out years ago. It was in the Free Press. There was a man looking up praying to God. It says, God, why don't you send us somebody to cause, stop disease, cancer, and hardship? Why don't you send somebody? God answered back. He says, I did, but you aborted him. And we still have that cartoon out. I look at it every day. Another thing I put up with the Bible. In the Great War, World War One, World War Two, standard issue military means you get 2 pair of boots, you know, so many shirts and blah, 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 that's standard issue. A Bible was issued to you. You were issued to a Bible. Now that's gone too.
I I still got that little Bible I handed out.
Yeah, somebody gave me, when we went into Iraq the first time, the Bibles that they handed out. They don't do that anymore. In fact, they collected all the Bibles when we were in Afghanistan and burned them. That was the order that came down from our president, because we didn't want to offend the Muslims. Oh, yeah. So you see this video.
That was actually a word to come down from NATO, but we obeyed it.
We got NATO telling us
what to do. It's
even worse. Yeah. Instead of telling them, hey, go jump in a lake, we're there by ourselves. They send about, five guys from each country.
Right.
We got 500,000 guys there, and they're telling us what to do. So, you see this, and did you think that people in that room thought they were doing something wrong?
No.
Speaking of, God bless you, Steve. You just came. Look at that. He came right in time, didn't he? Yeah. Give him the microphone there so we can hurry up and get him on there.
Get up here.
Steve Shank.
Get up here.
Good morning, fam.
I mean, you want to talk about a grand entrance. Where's Elma? Elma was actually here. Well, we don't have to say you're late, Steve, but... Elma, talk to him, would you? Pray over him. Steve called me yesterday. I just mentioned this real brief, and I wanted him to share this newspaper article. He called me yesterday. Poor Steve was having a meltdown. I thought it was like the Wicked Witch of the West, got water thrown on him. I'm helping you all, evil. Read this article to him, Steve. This goes right along with this video in a sense.
What newspaper
is that out of? This is going to be Detroit Free Press.
Now, let me ask you this. Does the Detroit Free Press have a particular worldview that it prints all its information?
Yes.
You better believe it.
Yes.
And you're not going to see them supporting school prayer or Bible study in the prayer,
Okay. We're busy. All right, here it goes. It says, the title is, Local Bishop Resigns After Her Gay Marriage. Facing a backlash from conservatives in her congregation, a noted Christian leader in Detroit resigned Friday from her church after announcing earlier this month she had married a woman. Bishop Allison D. Nelson Abrams stepped down from Zion Progress Baptist Church, where she had served for 5 years as its first female pastor. Her announcement from the pulpit earlier this month that she had married a woman stunned many local Baptists. Abrams' resignation comes just days after U.S. District Court in Michigan took up a challenge to the Michigan Marriage Act that bans same-sex marriage. Abrams, 43, used to be married to a man, but she told Congress October 6 she was in love with Diane Williams, a bishop emeritus with the Imani Temple of African American Catholic Congregation in Washington. That's a mouthful right there. A church that broke off from the Catholic Church. The two married in March in Iowa, where same-sex marriage is legal. Given the conservative views of many Baptists on the issue of homosexuality and the female pastors, Abrams' announcement caused an intense debate amongst local Christians. She said many supported her decision to come out, while others opposed her gay marriage. Some urged her to stay with the church, but Abrams said she resigned because she didn't want to further create division. Some in congregation had found out about her same-sex marriage before she had made her October 6 announcement and were making it a big issue that was dividing the church. I know how important it is for congregations to stay together, she told the Free Press. I didn't want to split the church any further over this issue. Abrams also resigned as secretary of the Council of Baptist Pastors of Detroit and an influential umbrella group of African-American Christians in Metro Detroit, and as co-editor to the magazine of Progressive National Baptist Convention. Abrams cited biblical verses to support the idea that same-sex relationships are allowable under Christian teachings, including Luke chapter 7, 1 through 10.
Stop right there. Somebody look up Luke chapter 7, verse 1 through 10.
What was that lady reading? The bishop? Not the Baptist, the other lady. What was her name? Abrams?
Who she married? It's Luke chapter 7.
What was the Catholic
1 through 10? Her name was
Luke
chapter 7, 1 through 10.
This is what she's citing.
Diane Williams, a bishop emeritus.
As New Testament proof.
What is a bishop emeritus?
All right, bring that up there, Ed. We'll look at Ed, man, he's good. All right, let's read this together. Now, this is your biblical proof that homosexual marriage is okay. Let's see if we can find it in there. All right? Let's look hard. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. And there a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. And the centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. Okay, because this guy was a Roman, had a sick servant. He was respected by the Jews. He had helped them on many occasions, so they were friends. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation, has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. Anything in there what we've read so far? Okay. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve you have you come under my roof." You remember, many of us that were Catholic, when you took communion, and the priest would hold up the host, and he would say, we would say, "Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed." This is where they took it from. Okay, so this centurion, he's a humble man. He says, "Listen, I'm a man under authority, so that is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For myself, I'm a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowds following him, he said, "I tell you, I've not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Okay, now would somebody please show me in that passage of Scripture, and that was verse 1 through 7, right? Or 1 through 10. Is that the correct?
Yes. Yep, Luke 7, 1 through 10. And okay. She said it talks about the loving man has for his male servant, saying that love is a big part of Christianity. Abram said,
Steve, what she's trying to say is this centurion wanted his servant healed because they were in a homosexual relationship.
Wow.
Maybe
think
their partner is really a male.
Go ahead, Steve.
She said, "We all know that we've been made in God's image, and so no matter what you look like, no matter who you are, no matter what your orientation is, we should be free to love whom we want."
Stop. You see what she's doing? No matter what your orientation is, so if I'm a pedophile, I should have the right to have children. Right? Nobody should judge me. Or a man having his own daughters or a woman having her own sons. How about having 4 or 5 wives? How about having an orientation towards bestiality or necrophilia, which is, relations with the dead? Do you see how they open the door and now everything becomes acceptable? And do you see how she will take a scripture and they will read into it something that is not even there? They assume that this guy was a homosexual. We're told he was a servant. He was valuable to his master. There's nothing in there about any type of sexuality. But because they see the world through a particular lens, they're going to read that into it. They make an assumption, don't they? And the assumption is that they were both homosexual. You see how assumptions play into how people see the world. Continue on there, Steve.
She said, Okay. Love is something that's supposed to be unconditional, she added.
Stop. Is love unconditional? Nope. When you hear people say, "Well, God loves no, he doesn't. Exactly right. If God loves unconditionally, he would never send anybody to hell.
That's right.
He sent his son for those who put their faith in him receive. But those that don't put their faith in, the scripture says, are at enmity, are God's enemy. We were God's enemy before we came to Christ. Okay? So, God, this loving unconditionally, no, there are conditions to God's salvation. We have to meet them if we're going to be saved, right? Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
And as Christians, if anybody is supposed to be loving, we are. Abrams, who has a doctorate degree...
Stop right there real quick. Do you see how she is now defining what the term love means? Is that the biblical... Yeah, Troy. Hang on a minute. Hang on. Borrow the microphone there real quick. That's all right. We want to have it on tape there, brother.
But how she's pointing out all of her, you know, her list of accomplishments, it makes her this authority figure that, you know, I'm smart, I'm this religious leader, I know all this. So the average Joe won't pay it. They go, oh, well, she knows what she's talking about, so we should just take her at her word because she has this alphabet soup in front of her name.
In logic, that's called an appeal to authority. Right. And that doesn't mean that you're getting the truth. But when you can say, well, the President of the United States backs his position, the Supreme Court of the United States backs his position, everybody that has a college degree backs his position, and guess what? That means nothing when it comes to truth. Majority does not determine what the truth is. We can see that. You know, that's why this country was founded as a republic, a constitutional republic. We have laws. Everybody's supposed to obey those laws. get the free press in.
Allison Dean Nelson Abrams. And she's married to Diane Williams. Okay, here we go, a list of her accomplishments that should make you feel small. Abrams, who has a doctorate degree in theology, said her views about love and orientation changed a little over a year ago. I progressed in my theology and came to the point where I would love whichever came to me. I wasn't just open to a specific gender. I was open to love in whatever way the Lord would bless me. Asked how she would classify herself in terms of sexual orientation, Abrams said, I'm not classifying myself in any particular area. Abrams' decisions come at a time of vigorous discussion amongst Christians over gay marriage as advocates seek to legalize it across the U.S., The Reverend Charles C. Adams, the presiding pastor of one of Detroit's biggest churches, Hartford Memorial Baptist Church, said he supports Abrams. Bishop Abrams is a very intelligent, conscientious, and progressive minister, he said. She has done a lot to help people. She herself did not seek to make this an issue, he added. It was an issue that, from my understanding, was ignited by rumors in Euodius, somebody looking up the marriage certificate on the internet. Adams, who supports gay marriage in terms of constitutional rights, said there needs to be more discussion of this issue in the African-American Christian community. By denying gay marriage, we are denying people equal protection under the law. Adams said, there is no justification for that. We have same gender couples working in every sector of society, and they are not being treated fairly. Others disagree with Abrams, saying she is violating Christian doctrine. Elder Levon Yulee, pastor of the Bible Church in Ypsilanti, said that gay marriage is diametrically opposed to the teachings of the Bible.
I love those guys in Ypsilanti.
Yulee said that unless Abrams stops being in a gay relationship, she should stop preaching. To be in accordance with Scripture, she would have to give up that type of homosexual lifestyle, he said. A native of Birmingham, Alabama, Abrams graduated from the Howard University in Washington, D.C. with a degree in mechanical engineering. She attended law school for 2 years before deciding to go into the ministry. She got a master's in divinity from the United Theological Seminary in Dayton, Ohio, and later doctorate in the ministry from the United in 2005.
Stop right there, real quick. Never be intimidated because somebody's got all these letters after their names. Okay? Don't let it happen. Years ago, I was in a debate up at Michigan State University, and I was the only Christian on the panel. And you had the guy from the ACLU, you know. Then you had the professor of telecommunications, Michigan. You had the professor blah, blah, blah. You had the head of the legal department. And I enjoyed taking them all apart, because they had no idea what the Scripture said. And so even somebody that presents themselves as a religious minister, and maybe some of you will go down to Oakwood Hospital and they have people walking. Bob, he tells a story that one time the guy, you know, wouldn't pray for somebody in a hospital. So you are always going to run in to these people cloaked in religious garb, claiming to be the official spokesperson for God. And that's why you better know that word. That's why Jesus told his disciples, you better know the word. All right, give us one more paragraph and
all right,
we'll wrap her up.
Yes. Abram said her interpretation of Scripture is compatible with the same-sex relationships. She said that Greek words used in the Bible, etymos, dalios, paes, can be interpreted together to refer to a male lover. She acknowledges there can be varying views on this issue. People have the right to interpret Scripture whatever way they please.
Stop.
She said.
Let me ask you this, and you'll hear this all the time. If there's different ways to interpret Scripture, it means nothing. Because Betty can interpret it one way, Troy can interpret it another way, Carmen can interpret it one way. Who's to say who's right? No literature. There is one way to interpret. Now, there are things that are difficult to understand. We have to know different rules of interpretation. We have to know different symbols. We have to know what is being talked about. We can't put it in a 21st century vernacular and think that we truly understand. We have to know the Greek or the Hebrew or the Aramaic. But it's not that difficult. Okay? Most of it is pretty clear, but there are some things that we have to admit. Say, okay, this might be poetry in the Psalms, or this might have reference to this, or maybe, you know, when it talks about turn the other cheek. You know? That didn't mean being physically slapped. It meant being insulted. So if somebody insulted you, you were to let it roll. But if somebody was to attack you physically, you had a scriptural right to defend yourself. So isn't that not to stand there and be smacked upside the head? Go ahead, Finn. Go ahead.
That's how we interpret the Scriptures. How we interpret the Scriptures, what you were saying, was by we use the Scripture to interpret the Scriptures.
That's
what
right.
What else does it say about that subject?
That's right. Ed, you had...
It says, people have the right to interpret Scripture whatever way they please, she said. I respect difference of opinions.
No, she doesn't.
As for what's
Stop.
Next for her...
Does she respect difference of opinions? No. She's going to enact what she believes to be right. Correct? Because she went through with it. She didn't give a damn what anybody else had to say about what the church or what the Scripture had to say. She was going to do what she wanted to do. Go ahead, Steve.
And that's exactly what she says, PD, at the very end. She says, as what's for her next, she said she's considering joining two other denominations but would not say which ones. She said she will continue to preach the gospel. I am still going to preach and teach and do what God has called me to do.
Okay, now, she's going to continue to preach the gospel. And I've said this before, or her worldview is the same as the gospel. We'll get back to that. Go ahead and thank you, Steve.
You know, the scripture out of that article was a scripture that wasn't clear, or she assumed things and put things that weren't clear. But this scripture is very clear. And it says, Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error.
Now, you know, he read this, and if you heard how they would say, well, yes, we agree with this. However, that's not talking about being in a loving, committed relationship. That's talking about being outside of a committed relationship. You see how they begin to add, and people go, oh, well, that sounds good. But how many people don't read their Bibles? And then if they don't say that, they'll say this, well, that was coming from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had a much inferior view of humanity than Jesus did. And Jesus is who we follow. And Paul here, he's kind of, you know, he was kind of out there. He was intolerant. But later on, Paul came around because we read him in Corinthians talking about love. Love your brothers. And there's under the law that there's no longer male or female. And we're to love one another. That is how they twist the Scripture. Jesus told the Pharisees or the Sadducees this: you are in error because you don't know the Scripture or the power of God. Somebody else. Yes, Donna.
This just seems like a good thing to end on. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 Timothy 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry.
Donna, that was absolutely perfect. What was the scripture? 2 Timothy?
2 Timothy 4.
2 Timothy 4, mm-hmm. 1 through or?
It was 1 through 4.
Okay. Write that down. Reread it. He tells them. You know, he's speaking to the people in those days. This is nothing new, the people twisted Scripture. He's talking to Timothy, who was a pastor over a congregation, and he's telling them, you know, that they were already experiencing this, you know, people coming in and going after false teachers, and that's what they had to deal with back in those days.
Yep.
What makes you think we don't have to deal with the same thing, Bob?
What did Donna just do? She interpreted Scriptures how? By interpreting it through other Scriptures. The only thing you can compare Scriptures to is themselves, nothing else.
Donna, would you close us in prayer? That was very, very insightful,
yes.
And that's an outstanding scripture to end with. Yes. And we hope that, you know, just during the week, as we come back next week, I want you guys to find a newspaper article like Steve did that you just know this is, and now you don't have to look far, trust me. Okay? I want everybody to bring in, you got an assignment, one newspaper article for next week. So that we can see the diversity of topics, because we're now going to go into various topics and look at the assumptions that drive that way of thinking. Okay? So when we hear this lady, or we read about her, she has certain assumptions, doesn't it? Well, number one, she can interpret the Scriptures the way she wants. She's going to do what she wants. Okay? And there's all these assumptions that are built, the assumption of the centurion and his servant is an assumption that they were homosexual. Okay? So you see, these are all things that have to be believed before they even go to the passage to read it. And they read into it what they do. Donna, would you close us, please?
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing us all here today to be under this roof among people who believe in your word, who strive for the truth, and who have wonderful pastors over us who will direct us in the right way. I pray that you will bless us today as we go down to hear your word, and that you will strengthen and encourage us as we go out and face this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.